Welcome to the Smart Driving Cars podcast. We're at the Consumer Electronics Show. I'm Fred Fishkin along with Alan Kornhauser. Hi again, Alan.
Hi, Fred. We're still here.
We are still here, and our guest is Dr. Lele Shinohara, Vice President at a company called RoboSense. Thank you for joining us, Lele.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about RoboSense. What do you do?
Yes, the RoboSense, we are a high technology company. So then we're developing the eyes for the cars. We call it the LiDAR. So LiDAR is using the laser to sensing the environment to detect the object and to tell the car, okay, there is passengers or there are cars in front of you. So then it will be used for the autonomous driving for the cars.
Well, lots of LiDAR out there. I don't need to tell you. So how are you different? What are you doing?
So we use the MEMS technology. It's called a micrometer device to do the scanning. So then this is the key technology. We ourselves also developing and research on those the MEMS micrometer devices. So, and this is not only, let's say, unique point. So what we are unique is we're not only to developing the hardware, we are also developing the software, the algorithms, which is to tell the cars and what is it's an object, is what kind of object it is, and also the sensor can track this object when it's inside of the the sight of the view from the sensors.
So can you tell us how you're doing that, or what it is that you're doing to actually then return to the user what that information is? In other words, are you providing an outline of the object, a position vector, velocity vector? What are you doing?
Yes, so then we are using the LiDAR is have a quite high the resolution. So we are using the 3D point cloud. This is where the raw information. So based on this, we have our AI algorithm, let's say, running on the background to detect the object and to track the object, also to classify of if it's a car or if it's a passenger. So then with moving the status. So then if it's a parked car, the sensor can detect it's a parked. And if it's a moving object, it can also giving moving speed, moving the directions to return to the car. So then the car can use this information for or make their decisions.
So are you doing this independent of cameras just with LiDAR, or are you also fusing camera information, or do you look to fuse camera information?
We have the different pipelines for the development. So we do only also with the LiDAR and to use the point cloud to do the object detection. And this year, we also announced one of our software product we call it is the LiDAR camera deep fusion system. So then we actually using the camera the information and to fuse it with our the LiDAR. So because the LiDAR has a problem, it cannot see the colors.
Right.
So then
you need R, G, B, D, and V,
exactly.
As I like to say. So, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So then we do use our, the camera the information to give the color the information for the point cloud. So based on this, we can do further some advanced the AI algorithm. For example, we can tell if it's a car. It's
the product identification. You can do much more robustly, let's call it.
Yes.
And so at what frame rate do you operate? Do you update the object? Okay, this is moving. How fast? What's the frame rate on that?
So right now, the LiDAR is roughly the 20 hertz. The frame rate is, which means that every second we output the 20 the data. So also
I get object, I get a position, and I get velocity every 20th of a second.
Exactly. So then also we do have a time of the delay for the detection. So right now our the AI algorithm is working for about the 50 milliseconds the delay for the detection.
which is pretty darn good, right? I mean, 15 milliseconds on the delay, that's not bad.
Yeah, exactly. So then, and so for example, it's in the real the driving environment. So then, for this delay, it's just it's a couple of centimeters moving for our cars.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, how are you able to compete when it in terms of both the size of your device and size and price?
Yeah. So from the last year 2018. So then after we have with our the first prototype announced. So then we are really focused from the design point to make it's a design for the manufacturing. So then we do the modular the design to make the sensor more compact. And during this kind of process design process, we are making the cost more effectively. Yeah.
Are you working with specific partners yet that you can talk about?
Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to tell really the partner, but we do have a couple of the collaborations, the partners within China from the automotive, the OEMs, and also we got quite a lot of the inquiry from the, let's say, the international, the automotive, the OEMs as well. What I can tell you is in China, the Alibaba Group, so then we have a really very strategic collaboration with them. So they are developing a kind of the autonomous delivering vehicles. So then they are going to use our the MEMS LiDARs on their vehicles. So then this is, I can probably tell you.
Okay. Well, that's a significant partner to have, certainly in the delivery of and the movement of objects and consumer products. That's really important.
Yeah, exactly. So then, based on this the development, then we will further develop it for our the other OEM, the car partners, and so then we will develop this kind of the platform, the product, which is not only going to the single OEMs. This can be also very easily to be adapted to the different OEMs. And this is will make our the product cost more effective as well, because we are sharing most of the components for the different OEMs. When the car, let's say the market needs are getting increased, so then the price of our the product, of course, will be get lower and lower.
Do you anticipate the LiDAR being used in not only self-driving or autonomous vehicles, but in other vehicles that car makers will incorporate the technology just to make cars safer?
Yes, of course. So then the targeting for, let's say, for the OEM, not only for the OEM, for us as well, is making the driving the safer. So then this is our the final target. And also not only for the normal vehicles, also we have the collaboration with some of the customer to developing, let's say, the autonomous driving trucks. And also, there are some of the customers they wanted to use our the LiDAR, let's say, in the port to make to drive inside or some of the let's say the area to transport some of the goods. And this is also, I have mentioned that the Alibaba is making the consumer goods the delivery. So then this is kind of the autonomous vehicle. It's not for the passenger cars, but also it's for the different use cases.
Now, when we talk to companies doing radar, things like, they talk about their advantages over LiDAR and bad weather, things like that. What is the response to those kinds of arguments?
It's an active safety product. Right now, there are three types, and the LiDAR, radar, and the front camera. So then all those three, the different, the technology have their advantage and have their disadvantage right now. So for example, the radar is very strong for in the bad weather conditions, for in the fog or in the light rain conditions, it can detect better than the LiDAR and than the camera. So for example, the other case, the LiDAR can really provide a very precise detection for the obstacles. For example, if a tire is falling down on the road, the LiDAR and the camera, this kind of the light, the optical-based system, is able to detect. But the radar, they have the difficulty to detect such kind of the object. So, and also compare with the front camera and from the LiDAR. So camera is very, it's a passive sensor, so it's really rely on the surrounding the light information. So for example, at night, the camera is not working well. But for the LiDAR, it's on the night, doesn't matter it's night or it's the daytime, and also it doesn't matter if you are driving in through in a tunnel or the sunlight is coming to the LiDAR. It doesn't matter this kind of the light condition, the LiDAR is able to provide very, very precise the detection. So then this is the advantage compared with the radar and the front camera. So then in the near future, these three kind of the sensor is, let's say, it's difficult to missing any of them. So then the OEMs and the system providers, they are always seek these three kind of the redundancy the sensor to make sure the car drive safely, do not miss any kind of the detection to or have any kind of the accident happens.
Yes, so we need all three and we need to merge them. And the key part of the key that you mentioned is the algorithms that you're using to basically fuse the data and to decide which ones is right at this particular point in time, I guess, is a key part of your algorithms, right?
Exactly. So then this is, we need to use the really the advantage of the different sensor and to avoid the disadvantage from the different sensors.
And that's the trick. And the company who does that best is going to flourish.
And we should mention that you won a pretty nice award here at the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yes, exactly. So then in 2019, so the CES, we do get this renovation award. So then this is about our really the not only the key, the, let's say the key things, not only the hardware, but so we are using the front camera and the radar information to do the deep diffusion. So then the camera can look at the environment when he found, let's say, object. So then the LiDAR, we can focus on there to do a more precise scanning for this region. So then we get a more precise detection. This is what we are the really, really unique about our the AI the software solutions, the algorithm solutions. So then this is also our, let's say, unique point to compare with the other LiDAR the companies.
Well, congratulations on your 2019 CES Innovation Award.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Lele Shinohara, thanks for joining us.
Thank you again. Thanks.
We're back with the Smart Driving Cars podcast. Alan, CES still going on?
We're still going on, boy. I mean, we're doing this 24/7.
All right. And with us is Bill Grabowski, the head of innovation for automotive lighting at Magneti Marelli. Thank you for joining us, Bill.
Hi, guys. Great to be here with you.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with Magneti Marelli, give us the quick overview. You do a lot of things.
We do a lot of things. Magneti Marelli is a electronics and lighting company with also powertrain and suspension. We are known worldwide with all the OEMs. We're one of the largest suppliers. We're going to become even larger. We're being combined with a company called Kelsonic, and it'll be Magneti Marelli CK. So we're very excited about that. We'll end up being the seventh largest supplier in the world when we're all done.
One of the, I don't know what, if we can say, drawbacks to all of the technology being built into vehicles to allow them to be automated, self-driving, is the appearance of sensors and LiDAR, radar, etc. And you're doing some interesting things with all of that technology. Tell us what you're doing.
Yes, we are. We actually, we've embarked on a mission to make the vehicle look beautiful. We've been doing it for 100 years in lighting. And lighting is a very deeply technical and highly regulated system on the vehicle. In fact, it's the most regulated vehicle system on the car. So we know how to take those devices that are regulated and make them look beautiful. So the same thing with sensors. And you've seen the monstrosities on the road today. It's out of necessity because that's the state that we're in. But then in the future, how many people want to drive around in vehicles like that? Even if they're robotic taxis, they're not very elegant. So we're trying to address that. We're trying to also address a need for the automakers, which is the complexity of the number of sensors you're going to need. You're going to need 15 to 20 sensors to achieve a high-level ADAS or level 3 autonomous. Where are you going to put them all? Are you going to have individual sensors located in the front of the vehicle? Each one of them take a separate wire run, bracketry, packaging, cost and weight. They're going to migrate to the corner of the vehicle. And there need to be, because the field of view is where it's optimum. I can package it conveniently now in one box. I can make one electrical communication connection instead of four or five. I can save weight, I can save cost, and then I can do it in an aesthetic manner. I don't have all these warts sticking out on the outside of the vehicle.
So where are you putting everything?
So we have headlamp and tail lamp packages, basically. And what we're doing is, if you can work early enough in the design studio with the styling guys, we can position the sensors where they need to be for the field of view, and then aesthetically work around it to make them look good. And this is what our bread and butter is for the last 100 years in lighting. And that's why we are the preeminent headlamp, tail lamp designer for all the major OEMs practically in the world.
So one of the things with headlamps has been sort of an inclement weather. One has to put windshield wipers on them. Yeah. I think I owned a car at one time that had windshield wipers right. on that. I mean, how and certainly these sensors need to have some protection over them because of the elements.
Yeah.
How are you handling that piece of it?
There's a number of pieces that we're developing. First, again, the aggregation of the sensors in one location will enable the cleaning solution. Because
right.
if you have them spread out around the front of the vehicle, so at the end of the day, you're going to need a washing solution.
Right.
You're going to need maybe an air pulse solution to blow off.
A wiping solution.
Well, we're trying to stay away from mechanical.
Well, it might be by air, right?
Exactly.
Pointed out,
right.
I'd classify those both as wiping, whatever.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
We're developing heating elements as well that can be embedded in the lens.
Sure.
And so we think it's going to be a combination of all of those systems to be able to get to a clean solution. But the nice thing is, if it's in the corner of the vehicle, we package it and we have systems that can already today clean
themselves system, because of the airflow and so on and the aerodynamics of all that.
And you are working with manufacturers of these sensors and LiDAR, et cetera.
Yeah, and I should mention, I mean, our premise is, as an innovation team, we're out scouting the world looking for these great ideas, sensor related or communication, perception related. And so for this iteration, this third generation, we have a LiDAR camera radar, which we're developing LiDAR internally as well as cameras. But we've also introduced some new technology. So we've got a thermal infrared camera. We're working with a small startup out of Israel called Adasky.
Mm-hmm.
Cool technology, 200 meter range, thermal imaging, differentiation between objects, pedestrian or animals, bicyclists. Also, it can distinguish a thermal image between inanimate objects. I have a tire in a road. It's a different thermal profile than the road.
Right.
So that's pretty exciting technology. Then we've got a millimeter wave radar system integrated into the headlamps that will replace the ultrasonic devices that are on the outside of the car, very visible. Again, trying to eliminate these ugly dots that are driving the designers crazy.
And the price point is equivalent? I mean,
It's going to be less.
And
I'll tell you why. You need an ECU to drive the ultrasonic devices.
Okay. All right.
And that's a pretty expensive device.
Right.
We're going to be able to use our headlamp ECU, which you have to have anyway, to drive the millimeter wave radar. So So it's a nice, efficient solution. Still under development, not ready to launch tomorrow, but give us a couple of years and it'll be ready for prime time. And then the last thing that we've added to the third generation is something called light fidelity, or Li-Fi. So we're transmitting data via photons, in essence. And we can do it at a much higher rate of speed than any kind of wireless radio system, Wi-Fi. We can have it in a more secure environment. This is the kind of thing you can imagine for payments to the infrastructure through toll booths or parking structures. You can have a secured way of making those type of payments, or you can communicate V2X, V2I, the infrastructure, the traffic signals want at the intersection can tell the vehicle what the horizon activity is happening.
There may be another advantage to this as well, given some of the things that are going on with some of the tests around the country, in that the vehicle isn't going to advertise itself as being an autonomous, driverless, self-driving vehicle.
Yeah, and I mean, today as they're deploying robotic vehicles and taxis, the aesthetics aren't the important part of it. It needs to be functional, and we got a long way to go.
It needs to be safe. It's got to be safe. Not safe, you know, we're out of business, so yes.
You got it. And we're supporting the robotic taxi market in other ways, but really we see the volume acceleration is going to be maybe at level 2+, high-level ADAS stuff. Companies are going to want to put cameras and radars, maybe short-range LIDARs into the corner. As soon as we find a long-range LIDAR,
I'm sure that you can afford, and so can, and yeah, right, and so on.
Well, you'll come to the smart driving car summit.
Yeah, we'll have them there. But some people will claim that they're.
Ask them to bring their hardware with them.
Yeah,
okay,
right,
so
yeah,
we
do.
I'll bring my measuring tape and my reflective.
Of course.
Our premise is it's got to be elegant. This, if you're going to be selling high volume, high level ADAS stuff, it can't look like a robo-taxi.
Yeah, right, and one of the things is you put two cameras on there with that kind of separation of that. You can also do some depth perception on all that.
Now, that's the cool thing.
You might not even need those suckers, and especially with the light coming out behind it. You know, you can't say it's dark because we got the lights on, so whatever.
Exactly. And maybe you enhance it with the thermal imaging camera that we have.
Oh, my goodness, that's even better because that's really what you want to see. Yep.
The stereo camera idea, we've been thinking about it, and today they're telling us it has to be within 200 millimeters relative just for the accuracy of the stereo. But there's got to be technology
There are some folks out there working on that kind of thing with much broader separation or whatever.
Right.
Sure. I don't know. My problem is ever since certainly the DARPA challenge, I've been a vision bigot. So. Because look, how do we do it? I don't have a lot. Do I have a LIDAR here? Take a look.
No, I haven't seen that.
And as long as I'm paying attention, I'm okay. My problem is I don't pay attention. Okay, that's my problem. You know, I have blue screen all the time, right? With these systems, proper. Backups and so on and so forth. Yeah. The blue screen issue is not an issue, especially with computer systems today. Yeah. I mean,
it does sound like you're doing some really interesting stuff to make this mainstream. Where do people go, listeners go to the podcast for more info?
We have a website, magnanimorelli.com, and if they go there, they'll see some cool videos that describe our latest generation smart corner, our washing devices and systems, cleaning, heating that we're looking at, and
what about the software? You mentioned it. Do you want to say
about that? Yeah, that's the whole other side.
Let's call it AI, that's sort of the consumer, whatever. Yes.
Our AI and our development right now, we're concentrating on perception software.
Right.
We recently acquired a company called Smart Me Up out of France. They're doing some really cool software development to take the sensing data that we're providing part of Smart Corner, and then
converting it into objects with a velocity on it, whatever, so that this is where the thing should drive versus apply the brakes, right?
Yeah. So that's the strength of Magnani Morelli. We've got all these parts of the infrastructure that we can bring together and provide that total solution.
And the automakers that you work with, the list is impressive.
We work with everybody. We are the second largest automotive lighting supplier in the world, only behind Toyota's captured source Quido. We are the preferred source to the high-level German OEMs. and we have the highest technology for lighting. So we're very proud of that heritage, and we can do this sensing technology and integration in a most beautiful aesthetic manner.
And again, it's Magneti Morelli.
MagnetiMorelli.com. Come and visit us.
Bill Grabowski, thank you for spending some time with us.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
Bill, thank you very much. Great to meet you.
That's it for this special edition of the Smart Driving Cars podcast. Stay tuned for more from CES. I'm Fred Fishkin along with Alan Kornhauser. Thanks for listening.